Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a hotel chain folds and guests are forced out literally overnight, and driverless cars are about to be beside us on Bay Area freeways. Waymo is expanding. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Travelers segment at 11:22, we discuss layovers, that period of time between when your plane arrives and when the connecting flight departs. Now, there are some really important things to consider when booking your flights.
At 11:35, we discuss America's best sports cities. According to the Washington Post, if you're a sports fan and a traveler, we'll share some great places to catch a game while on the road.
In our final segment, we have features on which countries allow you to clear customs before arriving back in the USA, and a little bit about etiquette when it's time to get off the plane. That's welcome, coming up at 11:50.
Welcome to the program that will make you a smarter traveler on your next trip. Thanks for coming along with the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for joining us. Links to a lot of the stuff we talk about can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Last week when we did our program, Mark was far away. All the way to Ottawa, which at that time he told us how wonderful he liked it. How was the rest of your stay, Mark?
You know, that Ottawa is just a great city. I don't think when people think of Canada, you know, they think of the Rockies or going up to Victoria, Vancouver, or the Montreal, Quebec area, or maybe even the Maritimes. Ottawa is probably not a place that they think about. Ottawa has a huge tulip festival every year, which I think is some place that sports leisure travelers are going to go in 2027, because I really like that city. Weston, great hotel. You know, they do things. Every country is a little bit different, and that's one of the fun things about travel. In Canada, I noticed they have a very different take on recycling. We were in a food court in a shopping mall, indoor shopping mall, and mm-hmm. we were looking around for where to throw the garbage away. And there were no trash cans, but there was this big long counter with an employee behind it. And what was the gist of things was you took your trash up and put it on the countertop, and the employee behind the countertop sorted what was recycling and what was compost and what was supposed to go. Because, you know, you ever go into one of those someplace and you're presented with those things and you're like, oh my goodness, what goes. There's food remains on this wrapper, so does it go in the compost or does it go in the, but in Ottawa at least, you don't have to worry about that because there's somebody behind the counter who resolves all of that issue. I thought that was just pure genius.
Yes, that's brilliant. I mean, if you've been when you go to for example a Rivercats baseball game.
Yeah.
And in several locations, they have all lined up all the different trash containers. And they have pictures there of this goes there and a picture of that goes there. And people are just standing around staring at the pictures, holding their stuff in their hands, trying to figure out where it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an ongoing problem. Even people, you know, at home, you have different cans that you're supposed to put stuff in and you put it out on the street.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't get it right, you'll find a little ticket attached to your trash can and it'll say, excuse me, homeowner, it appears that you're not getting it right. And you'll sit there and you'll stare at it again for a long time, trying to figure out which one you did wrong. And they don't even bother to tell you. You put paper in the garbage, or you put garbage in with the paper.
Yeah.
So you don't even know what your sin was.
Well,
you know?
In Ottawa, and the...
That is brilliant. I wish everybody did that.
The folks who live there, you know, they had no hesitation. They just went up and put the stuff on the counter, and they knew exactly what was going on. Those of us foreigners, we were kind of having to figure it out one small step at a time. But it is... Ottawa is Canada's capital city. So right there in the middle is are all the parliament buildings. It looks very European. Doesn't look like Washington, D.C. at all. But I really enjoyed my time in Canada. And I hadn't been up in the country for half a dozen years. And it really reminded me how much I enjoy that country. The people are incredibly friendly. They are courteous. They don't say excuse me. In Canada, they say sorry, which is the word sorry as we pronounce it, but it's pronounced sorry in Canada. So you'll hear a lot of sorry, which basically means excuse me, sorry I got in the way. It's what an incredibly delightful place to visit. We'll talk a little bit more. We're going to talk a little bit later on in the program about clearing customs. And in Canada, it's a little bit different, especially when you're coming home, than it is in many other countries. But anyways, if you get the opportunity, I strongly recommend a trip over our northern border. Do you know it is the longest unguarded border in the history of humankind? So why in the world? I truly don't understand. And here I go down the political rabbit hole again, but I truly don't understand why there is so much animosity towards people in Canada coming out of Washington, D.C., because I just don't get it. Those people are our friends. They're our best friends on the whole planet. Always have been. There might be some economic things that you've got to sit down at the table and work out once in a while. Even friends have disagreements, but I just truly don't get it. And I didn't feel any animosity from people in Canada at all towards me because I was from the U.S. They apparently have separated the actions of the people from our country from the actions of our government from the country. So that's a really nice thing because I've always felt welcome there, and I've rambled on far too long, so we need to get going.
Okay, all right. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with this Saturday edition of the Travel News once again, to bring it to us, Mr. Mark Hoffman. Mark?
You know, one thing I forgot there in my little Canada rambling on there. At the travel show, this is the National Tour Association, so we're meeting with people who are trying to sell us stuff, trying to get us to bring tours to their area or their attraction or their hotel all over the planet, literally. There were three or four people who came up to me and said, I listen to your radio show all the time.
No.
Yeah, no, really. They listen to the podcast. How they found it, I didn't have time to ask people, but it was really cool. I thought, you know, here is this guy in, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, was one of the guys. And none of them were from around here. One lady was from overseas. She's like, yeah, it's a really good way to find out what's going on in travel in your country. And that was incredibly cool, I thought. I separated the travel news today into good, interesting, and yuck. So in the yuck department, a hotel chain, hotels in this country, there are chain brands, you know, Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, they all have lots of sub-brands. Then there are companies that own groups of hotels. They'll own maybe 6 hotels or 60 hotels. Sometimes they're all under one brand. Sometimes they're under various brands. And they're corporate hotel groups, per se. A big one announced a bankruptcy last week, Sonder, S-O-N-D-E-R. And they own a lot of properties, Marriott properties. Their licensing agreement with Marriott was not
Marriott.
Renewed. And
Marriott.
So, Marriott. Yes. Okay. See, there I am saying it wrong. And so consequently, on 24 hours notice, people had to check out of their hotels. Now think about this. Maybe you've checked into a hotel, you're staying for a week or a month or 4 days or whatever, and you get a knock on the door or a phone call that says, you know, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, they're locking this hotel down. So you have to leave.
Yeah, not with you in it.
Or with you in it. And literally, folks, this news article from all over the country says that people, Marriott, to their credit, We're helping people. They help folks find new rooms and stuff like that. But this, what this article doesn't say, and we called Marriott, and asked them for a comment. I'm going to do that forever. You know that.
I know. I'm sorry. I brought that up again.
Yeah. And we asked them for a comment. They didn't reply yet. I'm not surprised. It was Friday afternoon when I finally got to the right PR desk at the hotel chain, and they didn't get back to me before we went on the air this morning. But nonetheless, what a shock. You know, you could be – this was a short-term rentals company that owns a lot of short-term rentals and also manages a number of hotels. So I'm guessing – this article doesn't say, but I'm guessing some people who were in, like, Airbnb-type accommodations were also asked to leave suddenly. So if you're one of those people who were asked to leave suddenly, it might have been on the up and up. They did just come out and throw you out of your hotel. And can these things really happen? Yeah, I guess they can. We talked earlier this year in the bad news department. We talked earlier this year about how President Biden and why they waited 3 years and 9 months to do this is anybody's guess. But at the end of their administration last year, they passed a plan that would kind of would have given U.S. travelers, air travelers, a compensation plan similar to what is available in Europe. So when your flight is delayed or canceled for certain reasons, that the airline owes you compensation. We had a pretty good idea that this was not going to fly with the current administration, which is a lot more business friendly. But, and so this is why I wonder why the Biden people waited 3 years and 9 months to put this on the board, knowing that it couldn't possibly get through all of the administrative things before the new president came in, and he was not going to be in favor of it.
Well, all I can tell you, you know, Sleepy Joe had sleepy helpers.
Yeah, well, it just wasn't.
They just didn't move very fast.
It wasn't prudent. And so last week, President Trump said, no, we're not going to do that, formally knocking down the compensation plan. Of course, the airlines are thrilled. And don't think the airlines and their lobbying group, Airlines for America, are not out there trying to undo other things that have worked in passengers' favor over the years, because they are. We'll keep you posted on anything that we hear. Bad news department. God, there's a lot of that this week here. Maybe I shouldn't have separated these. Delta, we talked about this, how airlines are now going to unbundle economy plus seating and first class seating. So this is Delta's first shot at it. Basically, you pay one price, you get that extra legroom and nothing else. You could barely get a seat to sit in. Or you pay a little more, and now you can make changes on the same day, and you can you pay a lot more. Now you get extra miles and all kinds of things. So now you get to choose from these. And of course, the basic one that includes nothing but the extra legroom is what the extra legroom and all this other stuff used to cost.
Do they have, you know, I mean, extra legroom is great, particularly if you're tall, but if you're not tall, mm-hmm. How about extra wide? I need extra wide.
No, that's called first class and or business class, two across as opposed to three across.
I can't afford to be this wide.
Yeah. Touche. Touche. If you were traveling in Los Angeles or Philadelphia this past week, it is possible, remotely possible, but possible, that workers at your hotel were on strike. Two hotels in Los Angeles and two in Philadelphia operated by Ambridge Hospitality. We're just talking about how companies run groups of hotels. Ambridge Hospitality is a big hotel group in the country, one of the biggest. They have hundreds of properties. A couple of their properties were struck last week by workers looking for better wages and better working conditions. I have no point of view on either side of this, but also on Monday, workers at the Rio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, if you're headed to Vegas and you have rooms at the Rio, the workers have voted to strike. They haven't struck yet. But if you have rooms there and you're going in the next couple of weeks, you might want to keep an eye on that because something could change there. All right. We're out of the bad news department. Yes, sir. You look like you wanted to say
All
something.
Right. That's great.
We're down to interesting. Waymo starts driverless trips on freeways in three cities. See where and how it works. Los Angeles, Phoenix, and the San Francisco Bay Area. People who signed up to be trusted testers. Now, you can't just, not anybody is involved in this, but a very select group of their customers will be allowed to order cars that will take routes that include the freeway. I have never ridden in a driverless car. As a travel guy, this is something really I should do. I have confessed I'm a little bit scared of it. Have you ever ridden?
I have not. I know when I went to San Francisco on your bus with your sports leisure vacationers to a Giants game, everybody on the bus was in awe of watching these Waymo cars go by, you know, with all their gadgetry on the roof. And I thought to myself, I've got to try that. I am not afraid. I would love to do that. I may take a trip over to San Francisco just for the purpose of doing that. You know, we do happen to have somebody with us today, right there across the, well, I guess if we were in the studio, it would be on the other side of the glass. Anthony Lucas, our official producer for the Travel Guys. Anthony, welcome to the Travel Guys. I have a question for you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. How about you? You're a young guy, then, and I think you were from the Bay Area or school there. Have you had a chance to do the driverless cars, the Waymo?
Yeah, so I was born here in Sacramento, but I went to college in San Francisco, and I didn't have a car. And the bus system stops at midnight, so I've taken Waymo before. It was there all 3 years that I was at San Francisco State. Yeah, I've been in them. They're cheaper than Uber. I'm not the biggest fan, but yeah, I've been in them.
What about your first ride? What was it like? Give us a personal, you know, play by play.
Yeah. So the car pulls up, stops right in front of you, and the way that you can tell is on the app. It'll tell you which one is supposed to be yours. Say you're getting out of a busy comedy club or something, and there's multiple out there, so you confirm which one's yours. You get in, and it will show you on like the screen. It's kind of like a Tesla with a really big screen. You get in, you can see where it's taking you, you can adjust the music on your own, you can sit in the front. I don't think you can sit in the driver's seat, which would be weird. And yeah, you just drive. It drives normally. I've never felt super unsafe in them, but other than that, pretty normal.
Anthony, you hit on one thing back there when you back a minute or so ago when you said cheaper than an Uber.
Yeah, they are cheaper than Uber. That is the main reason why I use them when I do.
Uh-huh. So that's Tom. That's the in for these drivers. That's the guarantee that they will be successful, because slowly people Anthony's age are already, he's already comfortable using it. We're saying, well, I don't know about that. A car is supposed to have a driver. Over time, that's going to change, especially when you look up the Uber and it's $18, and you look up the Waymo and it's $13, you're going to fall on Anthony's route. All right, we need to finish up here with the travel news. This is in the interesting department also. Man took a bus for a joyride but kept picking up passengers. This happened in Canada, in Hamilton, Ontario. Driver took a break. Guy got on, took the bus down the street, and he didn't just steal the bus. He stopped and let people off when they were supposed to. He picked people up. One person whose bus pass had expired, he made them pay a cash fare to get on board. The driver, of course, came out and saw that his bus was missing. And I can only imagine. But the buses have GPS systems on them, so they knew right away where the bus was. And police officers followed the bus for a while until they felt it was in a safe spot and they could go up and confront the driver. But the guy, nobody knows what his motive was, or the story doesn't say the full circumstances yet. But a guy in Hamilton, Ontario, took a city bus and just started driving. And the passengers, at one point, I guess he didn't know which turn to take, so the passengers helped him figure out where to take the bus.
That's crazy.
Isn't that terrific? And in the good department here, let's wrap up with biggest trends, holiday travel for Christmas. More people are going to travel, but they're going to spend less money. A lot less money, it looks like 18% less money. A lot more people are going to travel to nearby relatives or get in an automobile instead of getting on an airplane, or instead of going overseas, they're going to stay in their own country. And so more people traveling, but not traveling as far as apparently the bottom half of the folks in this country are feeling the economic pinch, and they're starting to cut back on things like travel, and that has to do with holiday travel. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano. Again, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, here we are. We're heading towards Thanksgiving in a few weeks. But right now, if you would like to treat yourself to almost like a Thanksgiving, if you have family that came into town and you want to take them out for a fine meal, right now at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, right over there off of Hazel and Highway 50, they have their Petite Surf and Turf. It's a special for almost the rest of the month. It won't be available on the last week of November, weekend of November, as a result of the Thanksgiving. But right now, $39.95 gets you your prime rib and your lobster. That's right, sourdough French bread and baked potato Monday through Friday. Or should I say every day of the week for dinner, lunch Tuesdays through Fridays. And as we come upon the holidays, you're going to have a group over. You'd like some catering. Maybe you are in charge of the office party this year and you'd like to really do it upright. Rudy's can take care of you. Rudy's Hideaway is the place for not just lobster, but for pretty much anything you want to eat that is always outstanding, including Mark's favorite, the clam chowder. My friends, you can find Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, again, just off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Live and in living radio right here on Sactown Sports 1140, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Layovers are a big deal. We don't spend enough time thinking about them often when we book a flight. Mark, let's see if we can help people out and make them a smarter layover.
This is really one of the most important things when you're buying an airline ticket. How long is the layover? Where is the layover? What airline are you flying? Southwest, more people fly Southwest in and out of Sacramento than all of the rest of the airlines combined. So folks who fly Southwest in many cases have nonstops to places other carriers don't. For example, we have a flight every day to Eugene. We have a flight to Santa Barbara. We have a flight to Palm Springs. These are all places that if you fly on any of the other airlines, you would have to go to their hub airport and connect and then take another flight. So getting to Palm Springs on United takes like 4 hours if you get fairly good flight connections, whereas Southwest gets you in an hour and a half. So if you're flying nonstop, that's great. You don't have to worry about this. But if you have to fly to a hub airport on United, American, Delta, something like that, and then connect to another flight, which is incredibly common as a way to get to where you're going, and it can be very efficient, but people don't realize these hub airports now have gotten huge. United used to be on two concourses in Denver. Now they're on three. It's possible that you will have to get off the plane, walk all the way up the concourse, go down an escalator, get on a train, go to a stop or two, repeat that same process to get above ground, walk again, perhaps a long distance, to a gate. And all of that can take you easily 20 minutes, easily. And if you've got a small child or you move a little slower or something like that in tow, then it's going to take longer than that. And what if you desperately needed a restroom, or you just got off of a 2-hour flight and you're about to go on to a 4-hour flight and you really would like to grab something to eat before you get on the next plane, even if it's just a snack or something, maybe you want a voodoo donut in Denver or something like that. You've got to have enough time realistically to do that. So folks, frequently the legal minimum connecting time is 30 minutes, Tom. So people frequently get into accept flights with connections of 35, 40, 45 minutes. And it's just in some of these big airports now, you might draw the lucky straw and your gate's right next door. Great. You have time to use the restroom and get on the plane. But if you don't draw that lucky straw, it can be a long haul from one gate to another, and it can be complicated. So you've got to, when you're booking a flight, I think the best time for a layover is an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half.
Wow, that gives that gives you the time, you know. However, most people don't want to have to sit around for an hour and a half. Well, of course, you're not going to be there. You're going to sit for 40 minutes, and then you're going to be sitting on the plane. But people cringe at long layovers.
Think of these possibilities, though. A couple of tips. You're seated in the back of the plane. You know, you bought a cheap ticket on Southwest. You were in the C boarding group. You're in the back of the plane, or on United, American, whatever. You're in the back of the plane because you went with it. You didn't buy up to Economy Plus or something. It can take you 10 minutes to get off that plane after the door opens. So think about that. If you've gotten into a flight with a tight connection, an Economy Plus seat might be the paying for a spot closer to the front of the door might mean the difference between making it and not making it on a flight. Also, if you have carry-on luggage, you're going to want to get to your next gate in time to board with whatever group you're supposed to board with, because otherwise there may not be room for your bag in the overhead if you get there at the last minute. So a lot of these things are really important. Look at that layover time. You're really looking for an hour. If it's an hour and 15 to an hour and a half, that's really better. It's not a waste of time. Trust me, it's a good investment on having a safe and stress-free or less stressful flight.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Gotta take a minute here and do a little sports leisure vacations business this morning. We have a job opening at my company. We are looking for a travel advisor, someone with some experience to handle the ticketing for our groups that travel around the country and around the world. Our current travel advisor is nearing retirement, and so we're looking for somebody to take Michael's place. If you are a travel advisor with some experience, a travel agency manager, or someone who has been in the industry a long time and knows that aspect, the ticketing aspect of the travel industry, airline ticketing, give me a call at the Sports Leisure Vacations office. I'm Mark Hoffman. The number there is 916-361-2051. That's 916-361-2051.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I could qualify for that. I have a whole glove box full of parking tickets.
You've been around me long enough that you
count?
Probably, by default, know some of those things. It really is a specialty type thing, and it's a job that could be like 20 hours a week, could be 40 hours a week, depending on what you wanted it to be. So it's really kind of flexible. Maybe somebody that's on the backside of their career and has some reasonable experience. We're a pretty easy group of folks to get along with here at Sports Leisure Vacation, so it's not quite as stressful maybe as some offices. After all, we're making people's dreams come true. I'm not trying to get them across the country because grandma has passed away or something like that. So anyways, if you are interested, or you know somebody who might be, or that sounds interesting to you, give me a call and I'll be happy to talk to you about it.
I have to ask, though, you know, I mean, for those that have visited the Sports Leisure office, they hard not to notice the two pinball machines in the in the corner. Does this job include, pinball machine breaks every 3 hours or something?
Not during time, but my staff, the office closes here at 3:30. The staff will tell you at about 3:20 sometimes Mark stops by and turns the lights on one of the pinball machines. Some older guys buy Corvettes or, second homes in the mountains or something like that. This guy bought a couple of pinball. I always love playing pinball games. So I have, yes, there are two pinball machines in the front of the Sports Leisure Vacations office, Jurassic Park and Star Trek. And in fact, I confess I played one of them this morning before we went. It's a great way to release stress. You have a stressful work day and you just go out and play pinball for 15, 20 minutes.
Outstanding. Okay, back to the radio show.
Yeah, sports cities. Best sports cities. And this is... They had an interesting methodology here, the Washington Post. They were kind of talking about, if you're visiting a city, which city has the diehardest sports fans, the most sports availability, Sacramento didn't make this list because we have currently a minor league baseball team, a carpet-bagging major league baseball team, and the Kings, who, let's face it, haven't done anything all that significant in our lifetimes. So there's hope reigns eternal, but we won't live eternally. So who knows if we'll all be around when the Kings finally climb to the top. So this isn't necessarily about what the attendance is at the one sports franchise in town. It's about how much availability is it. And if you're a traveler, many people who are listening to this, I'm sure already they're sitting there saying, yep, that's me. I'm out on the road. We were in Ottawa the other night. And we were trying to figure out if we could get to an Ottawa Senators hockey game. Turned out we couldn't. But if we could have, we would have gone. Just to be able to say that we went to a hockey game in Canada with a bunch of buddies. And so this is not an uncommon thing among travelers to schedule a trip or on a business. I know lots of business travelers who will try to catch a ball game someplace. They will position their hotel in a way that it's two blocks from the ballpark so that they can walk to the ball game and get back, that they can go to a day game and still catch a 6:30 flight out of town.
There you go. Yeah, I would think that, you know, there's a name for it. It's where you couple both business and entertainment together, or vacation and employment work. When you travel, so that you can blend a little bit of both. Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What did the Washington Post, what did they rank, and who did they rank, and what methodology?
Well, they said, this breaks my heart, I have to tell you this, but the home of the Los Angeles Dodgers is considered to be the best sports city in the U.S., and no wonder. There are a couple of NFL teams there. There are a couple of baseball teams there. You've got hockey, a couple of hockey teams there. Plus San Diego is just down the road. I mean, that's technically not part of Los Angeles, but yeah, there's WNBA. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So that's a legitimate choice. Seattle is another one. Couldn't disagree with you there. And Seattle's a lot prettier city, in my humble opinion, than Los Angeles. Plus, the Dodgers don't play there. So Seattle, to me, might be a number one choice. I won't argue with Los Angeles as an option. Here's an interesting choice. America's best sports cities. Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've been in five of the last six Super Bowls.
Right.
What have they won? Like three of them? This has been a few years now. He's gone, but George Brett was the best third baseman that ever played in the major leagues. And people have supported the Royals there, and they have had some success over the year. Kansas City is a huge soccer city. And soccer, it is the home of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. So if you're, you know, not going to a game per se, there's something that you might want to go to. Patrick Mahomes plays there. Arguably one of the best quarterbacks of our time, probably as much responsible for their success. So not only are there a lot of options in Kansas City, but these people, they've been very successful. Maybe not the Royals quite so much recently, but nonetheless, they have been very successful also. So Kansas City's high on the list.
You know, I think it's time once again to surprise him. He wasn't expecting this. Anthony Lucas there. I know you're with me, our producer.
Yes,
young
I'm
man
here.
Who gets around and is heavily involved with this radio station, Sactown Sports 1140. Chime in. What's your favorite America's best sports city?
Well, maybe I'm biased, and I don't know if it's America's best because I'm not the most well-traveled guy, but I've spent a lot of time in Portland, Oregon, and they have a great soccer stadium, and the Trailblazers are fun to watch, as well as the Pickles, which is like a lower league baseball team that is really fun to go to games for.
The Pickles?
Yeah, the Portland Pickles.
Cool.
The Pickles. Yeah, okay. Next on our list here, Chicago. Of course, I mean, you know, there's a baseball heaven is there. I mean, Wrigley Field, unless, of course, you want to count Boston and Fenway Park. But Wrigley Field is a place that almost every baseball fan, I think, feels like they need to get to. Da Bears, of course, Mike Ditka's old team. So Chicago, lots and lots of choices, two baseball teams. If you're there during baseball season, somebody is home, unless you caught an off night. The Cubs or the White Sox are always at home. Detroit is on this list. Cleveland is another. This is an interesting. Here's one of the reasons they put Buffalo on the list. Last year, a massive winter storm dumped 4 feet of snow on Western New York. Thousands of Buffalo Bills fans anticipating a home playoff game against the Steelers piloted their SUVs, ATVs, and snowmobiles to the stadium, and then they began shoveling snow, with the team fueling them with food, coffee, and a $20 an hour wage. They cleared the stadium out of the snow so that they could play the football game. That, ladies and gentlemen, those are fans. And if you are crazy enough, listen, if you survive Candlestick Park in the old days, you know that going to a sports event outdoors when it's cold can cost you your fingers, your toes, maybe perhaps your life. Certainly people who went to Candlestick in the old days. If you see people in San Francisco without all of their fingers, you know they're an old Giants fan. You know, walking with one leg, etc. They lost it at Candlestick Park. But these people in Buffalo went out and shoveled the snow out of the stadium, and the team paid them so that they could have a football game. So Buffalo made the list. New York, of course. Again, big city, lots of choices on the other side of the river, even. New York makes the list. Boston, Fenway Park, and reminds me of going to a Fenway Park ball game years and years and years and years ago. And it was cold. It was April. I've never been to a sporting event where it was so cold. Did I mention it was cold? and John Tudor, who had been traded from the Cardinals to the Red Sox, was pitching. And Tudor started the game by throwing five or six pitches outside of the strike zone. And this indignant fan sitting a couple of rows behind us, there weren't very many people there. We were right down behind home plate. And a guy a couple rows over stood up and said, "God, Tudor, throw the effing ball over the plate. It's cold out here. We're freezing to death." And he yelled it so loud, there were so few people in the stadium. You looked out at the mound. And the pitcher could hear the guy. He started laughing. And so anyways, at some of America's best sports cities, if you are on the road and you are, I've done this numerous times myself, if you're a traveler, you can see lots and lots and lots of sporting events when you're traveling. So America's best sports cities, I can't post this list from the Washington Post because you have to be a subscriber in order to be able to see it. But nonetheless, I'm sure that you have some favorite sports cities also.
Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, I was thinking, I mean, Sacramento isn't a key destination for sports, but, you know, if you want trees, we are the city of trees. You know what? Next week we're gonna talk about places to visit with trees. Sacramento's gonna be at the top of the list.
You're concerning me. We're a travel program. We were talking about sports cities, and somehow we ended up with trees.
I know. It happens. You know, we're not supposed to talk about the. Well, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes commercial break, we listen through the commercial breaks just like the listeners do. And
sure.
I'm always intrigued with a commercial that says everything is included. And then they say, but no children and no casinos.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is included except.
Except children and casinos. Well, you know, a lot of people who travel, my friend.
Yes.
No children, those. No casinos. That's a big deal. I don't have anything against children, but I would rather not have to. I didn't stay at the Disneyland Hotel for a reason. You know, I mean, children are great in certain circumstances, but in others, they're not so much. We got incredibly lucky flying across country, flying back to Ottawa, actually, a little over a week ago, 4-hour flight to Chicago. We had a small child, like a 1-year-old, two rows behind us, And the kid didn't decide to go to let it all out until the plane was on the ground in Chicago. And we were like a minute from the gate. If you've been in Chicago lately, there's a lot of construction going on. So you spend a lot of time on the tarmac, and taxiing to your gate can take like, not unusual at all for it to take 15 minutes. You have to go around the airport completely because there's only limited ways to get places. But we're literally pulling up to the gate, and the child gets upset and starts yelling at the top of their lungs. And you could see a couple people around us going, oh, God. But I thought to myself, that could have happened 4 hours ago, and we could have had to put up with it all the way across the country. So yay for the kid. probably, you know, and the kid was like, hey, you know, I want to get up and get out of this seat and get off this airplane, and I'm done with this place. And a lot of people are like that when they fly, especially long hauls. But to me, 4 hours is a long haul, anything over about 2.5-3 hours. And when a plane lands, you know, you want to get up and get off and get be able to stretch. And you've got to get your stuff from upstairs, because who knows where it's been while it's been up there or what's been going on. It's been next to other people's stuff.
Right. Which brings us to our subject at hand.
Yeah. Which is there's a good and a bad way to get off an airplane. And to our point earlier about layovers, if you got a seat in the back of the plane and you have a tight connection and you have to come barreling up the aisle with an oversized carry-on that you probably should have paid to check, bumping into everybody and, excuse me, I have a connecting flight. Quick connection. Got to get up. And you're literally fighting your way up the aisle, then shame on you. Because really and truly, you should have been smart enough to know not to sit in the back of the plane if you had that tight of a connection, or maybe check that bag so you could have gotten up the aisle quicker. You know, once in a while, when a plane is a little bit late in a hub airport, the flight attendants will come on and say, hey, folks, if you don't have a tight connection, if you'd let the other people by you. But that's really problematical, because what if you're in the aisle seat? Well, you still have to get up and stand up to let the other people out. So anyhow, don't be that person who comes charging up the aisle. And you know what? In the writer of the story that gave me the idea to do this said this happened to them. Guy came charging up the aisle. They got down to baggage claim. You know, guy said, I have a tight connection. Got down to baggage claim, and there was the customer who had gone charging up the aisle. Didn't have a tight connection at all. Just was full of themselves and wanted to run people over, I guess. So when the plane gets in, here are some things to think about. If you're on the aisle seat, the other people have been wedged in with you for whatever time that flight took. So when the light goes off, it's not inappropriate to stand up and move into the aisle. All the other people who have aisle seats are going to do the same things. There's not going to be a whole lot of room. But when you do that, guess what happens? The person in the middle seat, who's been wedged between everybody, now they get a few extra inches and they can stretch their legs. And when that happens, the person on the window can do the same thing. So in the 3 or 4 or 5 minutes before you start to move and get off the plane, that's a really courteous thing to do if you're on the aisle seat, is to stand up and give the other folks in your aisle just the tiniest bit of room, just a few minutes early, because they will probably really appreciate it. Now, one thing that I like to do, and I'm not a particularly tall guy at 5'7", but one thing, if I can see that I'm seated next to someone who may have a challenge, I may ask them if they have a bag in the overhead, and I'll get mine down and then get theirs down too, and maybe set it on the seat if there isn't enough room in the aisle. That way, when it comes their turn to get up and get out, they'll be able to get out a little bit quicker, and the whole process will move a little bit quicker. So that's a courteous thing that you can do. Remember we did a thing last couple weeks ago where we said flight attendants don't want passengers to help people with their bags, because that only encourages them to bring bags on that are overweight that they can't handle. And that's very much true with the boarding process. But when you're getting off, there's all those people behind you who have connections and they want to get off the plane also, or they need to use the restroom or whatever. So anything that you can do to help other people get off the plane quickly, I'm going to suggest you as a good idea.
Question. Okay. Yes. It's nice if you got a carry on and you are able to put it in the overhead that is above your seat.
Right.
But a lot of times that may be full. So you're either going to have to put it on in a overhead that is closer to the front, mm-hmm, as you go by, Or you may have to go back a ways past your seat to further back,
yep,
and you put it there. Okay, so now you've put it further back. Of course, if you put it further up, you can get out, wait. When you walk out, getting out of the plane, you can stop and get your luggage. But if it's further back, how do you get to your bag? What's the etiquette to go back and get your bag six rows back?
The etiquette there is to wait for everybody to get off to where your bag is. Now, occasionally there will be delays in the disembarkation process where people are taking a little extra time to get their stuff together and things. So you may be able to work your way back to your bag. But no, if you put it behind you, you're going to have to wait till people get off. And you bring up a good point that was emphasized the other day on our United flight, and that was the flight attendant said, look, we're running out of space in the overhead. Take the first space you see. Overhead space is not guaranteed. So if somebody takes the space over your seat, they didn't do anything wrong. That's just the place that, I mean, I might suggest that, you know, if you're boarding early and your seat's towards the back, take your bag with you. But if you get into that situation where the flight attendant says, hey, we're running out of space, take the first, or you can see when you get on, there's not much space left, and you spot a spot for your bag over row 11 and you're in row 22, there is nothing wrong. You're not breaking any etiquette rules by taking the space that isn't over your seat and is further up in the airplane. So anyways, just a few thoughts about when it comes time to get off the plane. Really, you can really make some points with the people around you, or you can make yourself look like a total idiot. And, you know, we're all in it together. Listen, it's an airplane. We landed at the gate. We're all going to get off the plane within a few minutes of each other. So again, this is where that smart layover person comes in again. Don't get yourself in the back of an airplane with a short layover.
Very good. Very good. I think everybody that flies on any kind of a regular basis that runs into that. One last question about putting your luggage in the overhead.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put my luggage in the overhead that is across from me. So when I get up,
yeah,
I can reach over and get it rather than trying to see if how much I can bend my body backwards and lean over backwards to try and get it out from over my head. So how about you?
Yeah, no, I think that's an incredibly smart tip. Listen, we got about 2 minutes here. I wanted to talk about customs for a second. Generally the rule when you go to a foreign country, you fly back in the United States, you get off the airplane, you walk a long way, you get into a line. Sometimes you claim your luggage before you go through customs, and you have to show your passport. And sometimes the time that it takes to do this at Dulles in Washington, D.C., it's not uncommon for it to take an hour. So again, look at this layover stuff when you're coming in on an international flight. If you have to clear customs, you've got to allow yourself at least an hour and a half, 2 hours with connections. However, there are a very few places where you clear customs before you leave the foreign country. Abu Dhabi International Airport is one. In Ireland, two airports, Shannon and Dublin, you clear U.S. customs before you get on your airplane. In Canada, at multiple airports, including Calgary, Edmonton, Halifax, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, and Winnipeg, you clear customs before you get on the plane. So, and when we got on the plane in Ottawa Thursday morning, we were already, in essence, back in the United States, technically, if not physically. So when we landed in Chicago, we went to a domestic gate, got off the plane, and went on our way. So that's a huge plus. Again, when you're talking about those layover times, if you don't have to go through customs when you get into the States, Bermuda, the Bahamas, and Aruba are the other places where there are U.S. customs agents in that foreign country for you to clear customs before you come back home to the United States. Huge, huge time saver. Again, Aruba, the Bahamas, Bermuda, two airports in Ireland, Dublin and Shannon, Abu Dhabi International Airport, and a select number, basically most of the big city airports in Canada.
Wow. So you're actually back in the United States before you even left Canada. That's cool.
Yeah, it was.
Well, my friends, that's it for another Travel Guys. Don't forget, you can check us out and get podcasts at travelguysradio.com as well as at Sacktown Sports 1140.
Thank you, Anthony, for jumping in, our producer, for taking us along today and jumping into the program. You remember to dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.